My name is Ama Abuaje. I'm 29. Today is May 27, 2016. I'm in Baltimore, Maryland, and I'm here with my father, Kalanwise Osei Abuaje.
My name is Kalanwise Osei Abuaje. I'm 62 years old. Today's date is May 27, 2016, at Baltimore, Maryland, with my daughter, Ama Jemfuya Abuaje.
Awesome. So I think, you know, part of the reason why we're here is really the story of you as a Ghanaian living in Ghana, living here in America, and me moving as an American to Ghana and that sort of juxtaposition. And I thought we would start by getting a little bit more about where you were born and what you miss most about your childhood neighborhood.
Well, I was born in Kumasi, Ghana, and the things that I miss are some of which are a close relationship, friends that we stay close, some kind of food.
What kind of food?
Like apissier, okay. You know, original fufu.
Original.
And things like that. And some places that we used to hang around.
Oh, okay. Can you describe some of the places you used to hang around as a child?
Well, as a child, we mostly hang around on the field parks when our mom and dad go to work. Mm-hmm. You know, we are left at home and we just hang around on the streets. And sometimes we go hang around in the farms, people's gardens, you know, taking cabbages, tomatoes, fruits and things like that. Or by the bicycle, there's a company, a guy who owns a bicycle that you can rent to ride. It's a big luxury. So we hang around there if someone will pass by and give us a penny to rent the bike.
Then you would all be on the bike.
We will be ride it on turns.
Okay.
You take the bike to your neighborhood and you call your friends to try it.
Okay.
Within the time specified.
Okay.
Yes.
Did someone ever hog the bicycle?
I'm sorry?
Did someone ever, in your friends, like, ride the bicycle too much?
Yes, sometimes it results in fist fighting because someone wants to take monopoly on it.
Yeah. Were you ever that person?
Sometimes.
Yeah. And I remember you talking a little bit about growing up and being in the farms and roaming around and the story of you sort of being near a body of water and that experience. So I wanted you to share that.
That's interesting. Yes. You know, I was known to be difficult in my childhood, and my mom thought that for her to get a peace of mind, she should take me to my uncle's, to live with my uncle. I was around 5 to 6 years, and it was a farm. And immediately I went there, they nicknamed me Kwesi Lazy, and therefore they said I was lazy. And one day they forced me to follow them to go look for snail. And this snail looking can take you for miles without knowing the distance you've traveled. There was a river there, and while we were there, we saw a bear, a rare bear that was coming. So everybody took to their heels, and I was a little, about 5 to 6 years. So where I was, where the bear was coming from, we have to swim to the other side of the river. And I didn't know how to swim. So I stepped into the river, and I was getting drowned. And the bear came at the tip of the river, looked at me. We had an eye contact before I went unconscious. Mm. You know, the next thing I knew was that they had come and rescued me, and I was on the floor in a pool of water where I swallowed most of the water. Mm. And that experience scared me from, you know, hanging around rivers or water or pools. Mm-hmm. That prevented me from learning even how to swim.
Yeah. Something that I realize whenever we go to the beach or whenever we go anywhere where there's water and we're like, Daddy, join us. And you're just like, no, you guys have fun.
Because
and
of that.
Yeah.
It was, yeah. Always brings memory.
Yeah.
And that also helped me to go back to Kumasi, the city, to have education. Otherwise, I would have been left there to be a peasant farmer.
Okay.
So God used that to get me back to where I belong to.
Okay. So you talked about getting back to Kumasi, and obviously there, I mean, you grew, you went to school, but you reached a certain point where you left Kumasi and went to the bigger city, which is Accra.
Mm-hmm.
So can you tell us, you know, why you decided to move from Kumasi to Accra, and then that experience of going from that city to...
I was born and raised in Kumasi, and at some point in time, you want to get out to somewhere. And also, everybody knew I was good in school, but for some reason, I didn't get admitted to the sixth level because of some poor judgment that I made. So I didn't want to stay in Kumasi. I want to get out of all that. So I went to Accra and continued my education there, and God turned into something.
Well, how was Accra compared to Kumasi? Because Kumasi is a smaller... Well, Kumasi is a big city. Accra is a big city, but Accra is a bigger city. So.
Yeah, Accra is, like you said, is bigger. And I gained more experience in Accra to survive on my own. And also, that is where real life started for me. Independent life started for me. And it opened my eyes to the Western ideas and the travelers and the aeroplane and the airports. You know, these all were in Accra. And so it opened my eyes and my, you know, view of the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Was there an experience going when you went to Accra that reminded you, like, okay, wow, this is a different, you know, I'm definitely in a different place?
Yes. Yes, I realized that when I went to Accra, I couldn't go to anywhere to get food.
Hmm.
You know, whereas in Kumasi, relatives were, friends were,
okay.
You know, but not Accra. And Accra also, I didn't speak the Ghana language.
Mm-hmm.
And that brought a little bit of limitation there. But overall, it was a very good experience.
Yeah, so I know that when you were in Accra, you went to school and then you got a job at the airport, which was seen as particularly prestigious, you know, to be able to work sort of in a public space, like, and meet so many travelers. And so your experience of working in an airport and meeting travelers, did that have an impact on you wanting to leave and come to the U.S.?
Tremendously, tremendously. When I was a little boy, I always wanted to come to the United States, you know, but I didn't know how. But when I went to school in Accra, I went to the school to do public health.
Mm-hmm.
And through that, after graduation, I went to the airport. It opened many doors for me. I got to know international people. I got to, you know, hang around successful people. And I also had access to money. So it brought liberation. The epitome of my success in Ghana was when I was at the airport.
Mm.
It brought wealth, it brought acquaintances, it brought connections. And so that shaped me and helped me to guide me here.
Mm. So when you were getting ready to, you know, make that decision, like, yeah, I'm coming to the U.S., what were some of the expectations you had, you know, that when you come to the U.S., what you would see, what you would experience, food, lifestyle, you know, what did you expect when you were coming? And then what actually happened?
We expect a lot. I was expecting a lot, you know. And I thought that the mere fact that I got my visa to the United States was instant success.
Hmm.
You know, and so, but I came to find out that it was far from what I was expecting. And I had to adjust myself.
Okay. So what were some, when you came first, what was like the first job that you did when you were here?
Well, when I came here, it was a big shock. You know, I left Accra as a port health officer
mm-hmm.
in charge. Mm-hmm. I started as a port health officer, and I left as the one in charge at a tender age. You know, I was 27. When I was in charge, I was about 25. I was in charge for 2 years. And so I came here, and I felt that, you know, when you are back home, you think you speak English very well. You think you speak the Queen's English, a British accent. You know, you're very particular about your sentences, where your distinct goes. So I came here, and my cousin that I came to gave me the newspaper to look for a job. And I opened the newspaper, I opened it, and he said, "How can I help you?" I said, "I'm looking for a job." He said, "What?" I said, "I'm looking for a job." He said, "What? I can't hear you." Then they banged the phone. Later, yeah. When I talked to them, they said, "I can't hear you." Mm-hmm. And I thought, what is wrong with me? Not knowing my accent. You know, and that was a big difference. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that you bring up the accent and you know, coming here and having to engage with people. Did you find, you know, a sense of community here amongst Americans, or were you mostly with Ghanaians, and how did you transition?
Okay, before I answer that, let me go back to the question you asked me. I think I lost track of that.
Okay.
My first job then, as I came, was a bus boy, you know. And I didn't know what bus boy meant. I saw it in the bus boy restaurant. I said, I want bus boy. So they put the boy in my hand to go and clean the tables. So I said, what? Portrait officer, to go and clean tables?
Mm-hmm.
I felt bad. Sometimes I would go and look in the mirror and look at myself, the uniform they've given me as a bus boy. It made me very sad. I said, no, this is not what I expected America to be. The job wasn't easy as they said it would be easy. Finding a place to stay wasn't easy. Everything was on your own. You are on your own now. It was tough. I realized that one job could not help. I had to do two jobs. At some point in time, I was doing three jobs. Cleaning tables, being a porter, cleaning floors, and all that. That I considered at that time very demeaning from where I had come from, the perspective. But I realized I had to do it if I wanted to. I had no mind of going back to where I had come from.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that with determination, I would make it.
Why didn't you want to go back to Ghana?
Why didn't I want to?
Go back to Ghana.
When I came, because I knew that Ghana, there was a limitation there. And the best you could do is, you know, be with the government, and when you are with the government, you are at their mercy. They can transfer you to anywhere. It was by the grace of God that I was where I was. So there was no hope for me to go back. I wanted to go have education. Ghana education was different. What the system is said that once you get out, to get back in, it's not easy at all. So I was determined that I have come here, the opportunities are here, the schools are here, I have to survive, and I had that survivor mentality, because I wasn't going back to Ghana for anything particular that is durable. I was one of the few people who were blessed to work temporarily at the airport. That workplace wasn't going to be permanent. It was subject to transfer, and I knew that if I go back, they would transfer me to the remotest village.
Yeah, so I was asking actually about the community, because you talked about having to get housing on your own, having to get this on your own, that kind of thing. But you did come to meet people, and so I wanted to know sort of where your community relationships were. Was it mostly Ghanaians, and how did you meet them, or was it Americans? Did you talk to Black Americans or white or any Americans?
Yeah. That is a very interesting question, because my coming into contact with the community, I realized that it has faces, it has levels. The first job that I got for the first 4 years, it was like I was working mostly with most of the Black Americans who had not completed their high school. So they saw us as rubbing shoulders with them in terms of the job place, like taking their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought that at that level, you might think negatively about the Black American, because the experience wasn't good. And because they don't have education, they look down upon me at that time, thinking that you are Tarzan, you are king, you are from the jungle. You know. Do you know, somebody asked me, do we have airports in where I come from?
Mm-hmm.
And I told her that, yes, we do. He said, where? I said, it's on the tree. Our airports are on the tree. And he believed it. No. So I had a negative distance towards the black American because they were very hostile to me as an immigrant, black African immigrant. But as I moved forward on the ladder, as I went to Howard University, I began to appreciate the black Americans. And I realized how vital they have made it possible for me to come here, the sacrifices that they have made, you know. I begin to see them in different perspectives on campus at Howard University where I went. And so I realized that, no, this black American has done so much for people of color all over the world, for every minority, even women, you know, because of what they sacrificed for. So my perspective changed. And as I moved the ladder and became a pharmacist and worked with the in the corporate America, my perspective also changed about American business. And it's like, you know.
What do you mean your perspective changed?
You see, I've been changing from my first contact with them at the lower scale to university to my graduate, after my through my professional work and things like that.
Okay, so I know you mentioned going to Howard. You studied pharmacy, and, you know, as someone who's gone to school here and knows Africans here and knows that, you know, sometimes there can they work in their circles and Americans work in their circles, and there's a lot of people working in different places. How were you able to, you know, find home or find, like, relate to being Ghanaian on campus while still, you know, making new friends, like you said, appreciating new people?
Yeah, you see, when I came, you see that the people who will support you immediately are the people from who know your background, who you can relate to. And before those other people get to know you, and then they stand their hand on you. So, and that is how I developed.
So, yeah. So, you've been here 36 years.
36 years.
Yeah. Anytime you say it, you're always like, I can't believe it.
Yes.
Did you think you would be here for 36
years? No. When I came there, my friends asked me, how long are you going to be here? Most people, when they come here from Ghana, for that matter, even Nigeria, they think they are coming here for 4 years and go back. Everybody thought so. I'll be here 4 years and I'll go back. At that 4-year education, I go back or 4-year. They asked me, and I said I'll be here for 12 years. And they thought I had said, they wondered why I said 12 years. You know, everybody says 4 years. I said, well, I'll take 4 years to prepare, get myself, you know, prepared, legal, you know, student, things like that, and go to school for 4 years and work for experience to get some money and all that. I didn't realize I'll be here for 36 years.
But you did say you never intended going back. So was it that in your mind at the time when you first came, you didn't think you would go, and then you changed?
Yeah, the first time when I came, I thought I didn't think of going back without succeeding what I had come for. Yeah, that is right. But I thought I would go back after I've succeeded.
Okay. And so you've been here 36 years. Why is it that you haven't gone back?
Honey, after 36 years, things have changed. Sometimes I look myself, I say, am I American or am I Ghanaian? You know, and it is tough. Now, even look at you. We come in here, look what you're wearing.
Yeah.
You're wearing African clothes. I didn't even notice it.
Yeah.
And now I'm wearing Western clothes. You know, so who am I? But I have loved it here. Here has given me pluses. Good stuff, you know. It made me know the value of life. What is it to what human race? What are we looking for? And now when I go home, the other time I came home, I was working with you. I felt a stranger more than you, you know.
When you came to visit me,
yes,
yeah,
and I realized that I'm just a stranger. If I had gone with any American who was not born in Ghana, we might have had the same experiences.
You, I remember you telling a story about when you came recently, and you were using some slang or some verbiage that you knew from before, and you used it, and nobody knew what you were saying.
Yes.
Can you tell that?
Yes, yes, yes. You see, right now when I go home, no matter how hard I try, I can't disguise the fact that I've been here longer because of the languages that we use, then some phrases and words that we use, you know. Like I said to somebody, wait, this man there, Oboke Chepa, he's lively, you know. And I'll say, shishikwa, meaning he's boastful about nothing. Those are terms that we're using in the 70s. So when I go now and say these words, people really at once know that I've been away.
Yes. I mean, I guess it's like if I were to use jive turkey, or if you were to, you know, use some of these old words that you hear from the 70s, it would be like, okay, have you been in a box your whole life, or where have you gone to? So you said that, you know, you've been here for so long, and when you go back, you know, there are things that that are different for you, like Accra looks completely different. You know, even Kumasi, because now they do have an airport. Mm-hmm. There's so much. Adum looks very different. And so I'm wondering, how do you identify yourself? Are you Ghanaian? Are you American? Are you
Ghanaian? No, you tell me.
I can't tell you.
Because I think I'm more Ghanaian.
Even though you technically lived in America longer than you were living in Ghana.
Yes. Because at each level, whether I'm with the black American, I'm with the native, I mean American, or whether I'm with a Ghanaian, they don't let you forget that you are Ghanaian because of your accent, because of certain. And I'm here, but I eat food from Africa, I follow the news in Ghana and things like that, even though I'm here. So my relatives, I still have relatives in Ghana. So mentality. It's like I'm still a Ghanaian, but I love America. America has a lot of good for mankind.
So I think it's good that you mentioned that you still think you're Ghanaian, because people remind you that you're Ghanaian in the way you talk, your accent, things like this. And so if you were to move back to Ghana, do you think that you could stay there for, let's God willing, the next 36 years?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah, I can stay there. Mm-hmm. When I go to Ghana, you know, there are many things that I see. Look, Ghana is becoming more so like now. It's becoming like when I first came to this country.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's becoming like that, where you can trust people. When I first came here in the 80s, you could trust people. You could go out there and do people good, and they will thank you from their heart. You don't have to walk the fear of a gun or this and that. Now, what was here then, now is what Ghana it is pertaining there.
So you mean there it's less safe, or
no? There it's more safe. That's okay. What I'm saying, because we have moved from less safe to worse safe here in this country. So what Ghana is now is where it was when I came here, less safe.
More safe, yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And so Ghana, I can live in Ghana. People like you going to Ghana to live, I sure can live in Ghana. But I'm hoping that when that time comes, many of you, those of our children who were born here in the United States, will begin to be moving back to Ghana or Africa, not necessarily to live there forever, but to make an impact on the society. Right now, as I sit here, I see more and more that the future of Africa will be in the hands of the children we have here. And if you stay in the United States, you'll find out that the descendants of Italy, the descendants of Israel, the descendants of the various countries, they are the children who went back and helped, or they stay here to help, whichever. You know, and I'm hoping that it will be so for Africa.
Yeah, because people always ask me, like, how does your dad feel that you moved to Ghana, you know, like, because the idea was you coming here for me to be able to have opportunities here. And so you saying this, and I guess the question is, you know, what is your you know, what kind of, what is your expectation of this, the next generation in Ghana? What would you like to see them doing specifically? What would you like to see them changing specifically?
What I want to see them do is, you see, right now, this is something we talk in my group of, you know. Mm-hmm. And the other time we met, and some, they were saying that the hope for Africa now lies in the hands of our children here.
Mm-hmm.
What do we want, do we expect our children to, that we hang up the hope of Africa on them?
Mm-hmm.
You see, that respect for the law, mm-hmm. respect for the law. To me, it's a crucial thing, and also for our children, they are not corrupted by the system, so they can go and infuse a new change in there,
mm.
you know, versus us going and mix this thing. Our children will be able to give direction, and they could bring that connectivity that should be between the various countries and the United States. Just as the Jewish Americans connect to Israel,
mm-hmm.
Irish connect to Ireland,
mm-hmm.
so our children will connect to Africa and be there, go there. Some of those who are here connecting,
mm-hmm.
bringing change and awareness in okay. different ways.
Okay. Well, that's, you know, that really wraps up my questions. I think it's interesting hearing the whole story, your whole story really of, you know, going from farm sort of like being called, you know, Kwesi Lazy and all, and then, you know, finding yourself through school and coming here and really trying to make a life for yourself and being able to appreciate who you are as a Ghanaian, but also what being American means, like, in your identity, but also for your hope for us as your children.
Mm-hmm.
And so, do you have any last words or anything?
What I want to say is America has been very good to people like me,
mm-hmm.
which offered us alternative ways to make life.
Mm-hmm.
Because the system in Ghana is said that when you are out of the system, you are doomed.
Mm-hmm.
But here, there are opportunities, a lot of opportunities. And those opportunities were presented, and I thank God that I used them.
Mm.
To go to school, to go to pharmacy school at Howard University, to use government grants and government loans and student loans to go to school and all that, to be able to raise my children like you, to go through the corridors of Cornell University, go through Columbia University, go through Emory University, go through Towson University, go through University of Maryland, go through University of Miami. These are my children.
Yeah. I mean, this is a classic immigrant, like, trophy opportunity.
Yes.
You know, just my children have been to all these schools. And I think that that's beautiful. I think that all that you went through, the pride is really what it meant for you.
Back home, we dream of Ivy League. Now my kids have gone there.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And we have 8 children, raised them in America.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this has been made possible by the country of America. America made it possible for me, and I'm grateful for people like the other children like you who are going back to their roots and giving back to the community which has raised their parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we've been crying for long,
mm-hmm.
and no help is coming. The help will come from within.
Mm-hmm.
You know, any external help that is not from within is there to manipulate.
Yeah.
And take advantage of poor Africans. But when you go as you have gone, and you sacrifice, and you know you are part of it, the solution.
Thank you.